What is up, everybody? Jerry here. I'm gonna start that over. I screwed that up.
Jerry here.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. Jerry here again, joining you, recorded from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and also joining me because, you know, it's either that or he has to turn off the lights and then he's got no
joining you whatsoever. From space.
Joining me. I was gonna say the campfire. Space works too. All right. We've got Jake Holton. For those of you who are listening, you'll know his voice. So Jake, what's up, man?
Hey Jerry. Not much. Just trying to recover from what was maybe one of the worst Everton showings I've ever seen. So
yeah. Just relived it today.
Yikes.
The game.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. Took some notes.
And, you can turn it off after 70 minutes. Let me trust me. Just turn it off after 70 strikes. Okay, match over.
What a weird collapse. Weird.
Very strange, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, we will. But it's very much just like somebody like a little Harry Potter spell and all the bones just went out of our bodies and all of us just went lawn chair. But we're actually gonna start slightly positive. I don't know if we got to talk about this much on last week's show, but I wanted to mention because it's kind of rad, this new Stars and Stripes kit that Hummels put out for Everton USA people. So I guess it's in honor of, and there's a lot of people who are not U.S. folk who are getting the shirt because it's dope looking. Really cool. Yeah. I liked it. We have four coming to my house, Jake.
How about that?
Whole family. We're going to go out super matchy-matchy. We're going to be that family.
How about that? That's great.
So, yeah. Were you the one, Jake, who said, this looks good, but I don't think it'll look right on me?
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of how it looks. Like, look, let me preface this by saying it's incredibly cool. Like, it's the coolest thing that an English club has done for any United States supporters in the history of the Premier League. So Everton are clearly on board with their United States fans, and it's awesome. I really, really, really appreciate the work that went into this by Hummel and by everyone behind the scenes talking to Hummel. If, you know, whoever you are, thank you. I really appreciate it. I you know, but I think a shirt like this, you know, it's subjective. And it's not the worst looking shirt I've ever seen in the world, but it's not something I think I would wear, which is fine, I think.
It's,
you know,
not, I will say this, it's a little bit more than I would normally go. I normally like a little more subdued, a little more, you know, I'm just not like flashy dude, you know what I mean? But something resonated for me. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the gesture. I don't know. I like it a lot more than the US kit that I feel like it was sort of like inspired by. I never liked that kit for some reason. I feel like I'm the only one who didn't like it. I was like, I almost felt like offended the fact that a fake denim kit with giant stars on it. Great. I remember that World Cup kit and I was
the
just
94
like so
kit.
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so annoyed by it. Like, oh, that's who we are. Jeans. Let's make it look like jeans.
We're American, Jerry. That's what we do. Jeans.
You know, I was just like, okay, come on. It's not enough that we suck. We just have to make our stuff look like jeans. But this, for some reason, this kind of, there was a certain creative flair to it that I just connected with. I don't know. I don't know what it is. So, by the way, Jake, you totally just peed all in my cornflakes there. It's like, hey, I just got a new car. It's a Tesla. Well, you know, the thing about Teslas, Jerry, is they suck. That's just...
No, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. I'm glad. Like, I saw the reaction on social media and it's overwhelmingly positive. And I'm like, this is a good thing. this is a really cool thing. And everyone is really pumped about it. Even our friends in the UK seem to be really pumped about it, and they bought them too. And it's cool. Now, Everton's never allowed to wear those pre-match again because they got shelled after wearing those in the pre-match warm-up. So that's never allowed to happen again.
What happened with that, by the way? They got shelled. What happened? Because I didn't hear about those.
What, Everton?
Oh, in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant they took flack for wearing them. And I'm like,
No. I was just talking about the match. Yeah. They're never allowed to wear those pre-match ever again. One and done. Like, just
can't they break the curse of the Everton USA shirts?
I don't trust Everton breaking many curses in the immediate time frame.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I really dig it. You know, I'm glad everyone likes them. And it did grow on me a little bit, but it's still not really my thing.
You know what's going to happen? When we hang out, Jake, I'm totally wearing that shirt.
Yeah,
I'm
go totally for it. Go for it.
And you're going to be mumbling at me. You'll be like, hey, Jerry, go get me a beer. And I'll turn around and you'll be like, sure sucks. And I'll be like, yeah, I heard that.
It's tough. It's so bad.
I don't like it. Too flashy. Not Jake Holton style. Yeah. Anyway, I like it. My family digs it.
Go for it. Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad. I'm like legitimately happy that it was well received and that it, you know, it happened. That it happened was really cool. So,
by the way, I just want to say, everybody else out there, just so you know, Jake and I did not discuss this beforehand. So, nope. Yeah, our reactions are very genuine. And so are these tears.
Behind the scenes, like, yeah, we don't really discuss anything. We discuss, you know, the general layout, and then bam, we're into it.
And then we get into it just because we don't have to redo, like, reactions. You know what I mean? Don't have to redo reactions. It's tough. We're not here to be actors, folks. We're just dudes.
I wouldn't be a very good one anyway.
See, yeah, don't do that. Don't naysay. Do you have any idea, like, as somebody who's, like, okay, that's my job, is to work with actors, all right? I will tell you, I've worked with trained actors, I've worked with untrained actors, all right? And I'll be honest, if you have the untrained actor play a character similar to themselves, oftentimes they will act the trained actor out of the building. I'm serious. So if we have you playing an Everton supporter, okay, who is a UFC coach, holy crap.
What a movie that would be.
Just saying.
What a movie that would be.
Award season.
Yes.
Jake Holton.
Yes.
All right. Let's do this. I think we figured this out. I just want to say it out loud. So speaking of that, so we've been sticking to October themes in these introductions.
Yeah.
We've been talking scary movies, but I've already talked scary movies with Jake. By the way, have you seen Seven yet?
No.
Have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't.
I just say these things for my own health. You know, just for my own health.
I did go looking for it, though. I didn't.
Hey, that's a start. No, you know what? That is a start. I will take that as a tiny win. Tiny win. Because these days, every tiny win is a good thing.
That's
just
right.
Saying. So, yeah.
That's right.
So we've already talked scary movies with Jake. But we've not with anyone discussed scary TV shows. Okay. And we don't necessarily mean like ironically scary, like The Room. Okay. The Room, the sex scenes in The Room are very scary. Okay. Just throwing it out there. Tommy Wiseau just shouldn't be happening. Okay. And we're not okay, but so that was, and that's a film anyway, so whatever. But basically, it's not supposed to be ironic TV shows. We're talking about actually intended to be scary television shows. I have a list of a few here, some I liked, some I didn't like, but I wanted to see where you went first, Jake. If you were the first thing right out of your head, you're like, I really thought blank was awesome. I'm wondering if I've seen it. So, what do you got?
The first scary TV show that comes to mind. You know, there's not very many, like, really good ones out there.
I would agree.
if you're asking me, like, I don't know that I've actually seen like a really good scary like a typical scary TV show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think I have. Like I don't genuinely believe that I've sat down and watched like The Haunting of House Hill, you know,
The
was
house. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched that. I haven't watched any of the other ones that are supposed to be scary. Like I don't know. Just haven't
Have
called
you
to me.
watched the new Midnight Mass by the same guy that made Haunting of Hill House?
I have not.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Me and my wife are in the middle of it. She normally doesn't watch scary stuff. Okay. And so I conned her into watching it. Because I, I like the idea of, because it functions as a drama at times, which is cool. Haunting of Hill House does as well. Okay. Just throwing it out there. But I feel like Midnight Mass is a solid show. Solid show so far from what I've seen. Have you, I mean, I have to ask you, have you seen Stranger Things, any of them?
I didn't know if you were going to count that as a scary TV show.
I feel like it's supposed to be
It's,
sort of
I mean,
scary.
it's got those vibes. It's got those classic 80s, you know, horror movie vibes. Yeah,
Yeah.
I've seen every season of Stranger Things, and it's great. It's, you know,
I
it's
feel like you,
fantastic.
I felt like you would like that,
Yeah,
actually.
no, it's really good.
Yeah.
The acting is
So,
good. It's shot well, you know.
Like I started watching, I haven't been able to watch any episodes since, but I started rewatching the first season with my oldest because I didn't think the youngest was ready for it yet. And to be honest with you, there's some inappropriate stuff I probably should not have been watching even. There's some, again, like sex type scenes, just saying. And
Yeah.
I actually started watching Lock and Key with them as well. And again, there's a sex type scene, like a
Jeez,
makeout
Jerry.
scene. Yeah,
Jeez, Jerry.
I it's just it's slight miscalculations. Maybe I,
An oversight.
but at the same time, and it was actually a little scary to my boys. But Lock and Key is okay. I feel like it's a little bit more juvenile. I don't feel like it's as much of a mature show compared to Midnight Mass. Midnight Mass just seems well done. I have to say this show, even though I don't think I'm really a fan of it, American Horror Story.
I
That's
saw
another one.
the
People
I
swear
forgot
by it.
about that. I saw the first season. I thought the first season was really good and it was really scary.
That was my favorite.
Everything after that, I was like, like season two was okay. I think I watched season two as well, but
Yeah.
nothing has gotten close to season one, and everything else I was just kind of like out on. One thing I guess you could count, maybe count this. I've seen the Castlevania animated series on Netflix. I saw that all the way
It's really
through, and
good.
that
It's
was
good.
phenomenal. That was phenomenal. Now, people who don't like anime type stuff, probably not for them.
Need not apply.
But really good, just excellent stuff. The voice acting was
Good.
great. The action scenes were great. Like the build up to the end of every season is really, really well done, and the way they finish it off was really excellent too. So that I really enjoyed all of that.
I'm really behind on that. I only watched the first season, so I've got to go back. I loved it. I just don't have anybody watch it with me. It's, my wife has no interest in that, and it's a little bit beyond my kids.
Yeah, we
Even
yeah. Uh-huh.
I still think they would probably be like, "Oh my gosh, this is so cool," but it's a bit mature for them.
Yeah, I would say so.
Actually, just to say, there's as far as anime goes, though, there's some good scary anime out there. So
Yeah.
there's some really good stuff.
There is.
Out of all those right now, I think if I'm gonna defend anything, I really like this Midnight Mass. It's really good. And I agree with you with first season of American Horror Story. I'm not completely down exactly with the way the it ended, that season ended. Stranger Things is just good all the way around. My favorite though, for a series, I think I'm going to say Stranger Things.
That's a good pick. I think for me, Castlevania is slightly above that. Just just slightly elevated. I feel like Stranger Things could have ended with that last season. I feel like that would have been a fine bookend. We're going to get another season. That's fine. I'll watch it. It'll be fine, I'm sure. But, you know, I feel like there are some times where these shows just kind of go on just maybe a little bit too long.
I have a caveat. Midnight Mass, I have a feeling, is going to, I'm going to love it when it's finished. I love it right now, but I want to finish it first. Also, I wanted to say, I, having read a lot of the comics, I don't know that you can consider this a scary show, although I think it would scare children. The show Preacher, if you're familiar with that, I have been rewatching like first season of that. It's pretty well done. It's pretty well done. It's just a little, it moves a little slow for my taste in terms of what actually happens in the span of an episode. But that comes from somebody who knows what's coming. You know what I mean? Like, I, having read the graphic novels and loved them, it's not exactly the way I envisioned, but I don't really care. Pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show. So I'd recommend that. There's definitely some scary stuff that happens in it. You know, it's definitely gory and definitely not for the kids. I'll say that too. And a special mention, by the way, to a funny vampire show, What We Do in the Shadows. Everyone should
know. That looks good. Yeah, that looks good.
It's so good, man.
It looks
hilarious.
Funny. Yeah.
It is genuinely funny. Everyone should watch it. We watch it both on either YouTube TV, we have a DVR, but also we watch it on Hulu. So everybody, if you can watch What We Do in the Shadows, it deserves a mention. Just saying. So moving on. Regretfully.
Oh no.
I'm gonna give you first crack here, Jake. I feel like you've been preparing the internet for your wrath all day long. Got to talk about the game this weekend. You said you've had a little bit of time to put this in perspective. How are your feels on this now?
I'm still very angry.
Gotcha.
This is the first time I've ever been, I think, legitimately angry at Everton Football Club.
This is definitely not the first time for me.
This is season 8 of supporting Everton. Now, I've been very disappointed before. I've been very sad before. I felt all the kind of negative emotions before towards Everton. I felt apathy towards the team before, especially towards the end of last season. I was very just apathetic. This is legitimate anger. To be up 2-1 with 20 minutes left in the match and to lose against Watford. This is Watford we're talking about. This is not Liverpool. This is not Manchester City. This is not Chelsea. This is not any high-powered football club in the Premier League. We're talking about Watford. And fair play to Watford for doing this and being able to kick on and really take the game by the scruff of the neck and go win it. But that's, it's so bad. It's so bad to be up 2-1 and then give up a goal on another corner kick, another set piece, zonal marking. It's a mess. It's a nightmare. And then to immediately overload the entire right side of the pitch with every outfield Everton player and just leave every attacking Watford player alone standing just on the edge of your defense, being able to tear you apart super easily. And then it's 3-2. And then you basically throw in the towel. Then you collapse completely. You give up another goal, an embarrassing goal for 4-2, where they just easily pass through every defender, and every defender swings and misses, and it's super embarrassing. I left Dana Gardens after 4-2, and as I'm walking out, I'm saying goodbye to everybody. I'm thanking everybody. I'll see you next time. I've never flipped the bird towards Everton before, but I gave him the middle finger on the TV, and I said an obscenity that was, levied at Everton Football Club, and it was.
For those of you who are wondering what that obscenity was, fiddlesticks.
That's
That's
right.
what, that's Jake's obscenity of choice.
That's right. It
That's.
was fiddlesticks. It started with an F for sure. I've never been so angry because I don't understand how you can be so spineless that you can collapse to a really poor team at home. A really poor team. It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening, and it's inexcusable in every sense of the imagination. Like, I don't understand.
Pretty ugly game. Our two goals were nice.
Yeah.
Nice goals. The Richarlison goal was just flat out a brilliant ball by Michael Keane.
We'll talk about
Really
that.
nice.
Like, you go from that high of Richarlison's back. He scores a minute after he comes onto the pitch, and Goodison Park is jubilant. And you go from that to the end, and you don't even understand how it happened.
No. So let's try to figure out how it happened. Let's just try to give a little, without like blaming, unless blame is the answer. For a lot of folks, it is. So just wanna, because what we're left with here is we're sitting up 2-1, and the only thing that really seemed to change, and I don't think this is what's responsible for the shift in momentum. I just want to clarify, it is a mere coincidence. Around the 76-minute mark, we brought in Iwobi for Demarai Gray. Now, I don't think that's what's responsible. I think that would be really short-sighted to say bringing in one dude brings about the collapse of an entire team.
Yeah.
Okay, it happened. But their 15-minute orgy of excess, if you will, yeah. It starts with one dagger, right?
Yeah.
That set piece, that header by Kutzka, all right, who wasn't completely unmarked, but
He might as
it's
well have
this.
been. He was standing in the middle of the box, and there was maybe somebody like a foot from him, and it was easy for him.
It was the second goal off of a set piece, which made it 2-2. Big momentum starts happening for them. And almost immediately after that, the greatest striker in the entire league,
God, I'm so
clearly,
mad.
finds himself wide open due to a just kind of a bizarre comedy of players flocking to the left side.
I've never seen professionals do that before. FC Cincinnati doesn't do that.
Okay, that's not cool. Don't say that.
Worst team in the MLS. They're the worst team in the MLS, and I've never seen them do that ever. There were like seven players on that side. That one picture that was floating around Twitter, I'm like, what? How does that happen? Why are you all standing there?
Yeah, you rewatch the goal, and I will say that yeah everyone has flocked to that side. You see, you can actually, and it actually, I feel like it happens a few times, man. I feel like it happened three times here in one way or another, where we get caught with a 1v1 or a 1v none in front of goal. And it's a, and I just feel like it's a panicked, like a widespread, okay, I'm not going to sit there and quote the band name. Almost a widespread panic in the team. No, not doing it. But I mean, but it's a, I think something, I think it was something mental, a mental, and I don't think it was necessarily tactical. I think it was a shit your pants type of moment. And a lot of them, I mean, did you watch Keen on the, was it the, it was technically the fourth goal, but fourth it was goal. The third, it was the third goal in that flurry, you know, where it's just Keen and he's got to keep the man in front of him. He lunges out ready to block.
Josh Keen
comes
just
back around. He comes back around with the right, which puts him off of balance. Right?
Yeah.
He just gets sidestepped.
Shambolic.
I mean, these goals are not like brilliantly struck balls.
You know, I haven't even seen the fifth goal. I haven't even seen it. I know Emmanuel Dennis scored it. I've not even seen it.
He just passed it in, man. He just passed it in.
I'm sure it was just as bad as the fourth goal. Like, I would imagine it was similar levels to what happened on that fourth goal.
My son was like, what is Coleman doing there? Because Coleman was the one instead of Keen on this one. You know, I realize it's hard. You're sitting there trying to throw your body in front of a shot. You know, I understand it's tough to keep your balance. Like, I get that. It's easier said than done. However, let's take the whole find their humanity out of it and mm-hmm. analyze the fact that these are professional defenders.
Yeah.
Sort of feel like they should maybe be doing better.
Yeah, not sort of. Like, they should definitely be.
Yeah, I was playing down my language there.
It's, you know, they don't deserve any kind of like qualifiers or nothing. Like, they deserve to be absolutely shredded by everyone for what they did on Saturday. Yeah. Everyone.
I mean, it's just a.
Here's the worrying bit for me. We've already seen this once. We've already seen this once with Everton this season. Now it's happened a second time. That's precedent. We saw it at Aston Villa. One goal went in and they completely lost their heads, and two goals go in, three goals go in, like nothing. Like nothing. And now we've seen it again. That's weakness. That is mental weakness, mental frailty throughout the entire squad.
So I got a question for you about that. Let's talk about where that starts. Okay. This is the kind of thing that I feel like Everton has dealt with in the past, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I'll say that Benitez, this isn't what happens every single time when we go down a goal.
No.
Right?
No.
To be fair, that's why I'm kind of like hesitant to sit there and point at the manager and go, him. You know what I mean? Like, we've actually come from behind in this type of instance before. I see a lot of people pointing at players. I've seen some people pointing manager. I've seen a lot of people pointing, beginning to point at like administration, and just pointing like at like every different name you can imagine. But I'm just wondering if it's one of those moments where deep breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty thin right now.
Yep.
We're missing one of our best players in Decore.
Yep.
We're missing another great player in DCL.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Is that 5-2 down to Watford? No, should not. Should not have happened, right? Should not have happened. But at the same time, I would like to see if this becomes a trend. This has happened another game, true, when we actually had better players playing, right? Let's just see if this becomes a trend. Let's see what happens. I'm not ready to go on a blame fest just yet. I do think the depth of our squad is hard to rationalize in anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty unforgivable thing. And a lot of the anger that I see pointed toward our director of football is not, hey, you don't know what you're doing. It's, hey, you're okay with not being given the decisions. You're okay. You're not expressing yourself, and you're not impressing your will upon the club the way a director of football should be doing. And you're allowing way too many voices in there. And that they're saying he's just cool getting a paycheck. Hey, talking about this guy. Be right back here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is an interesting complaint.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's completely unfounded. He must feel like he's having enough of a stamp on the club to feel like he's making a dent. Dang, dude. I don't know. I'm not really in straight up blame mode because right now I want to see what happens. But I think it'll be phenomenal. They didn't mean to do that. Just a little Roberto for you. I think it would be phenomenal if Rafa finds a way, if Benitez finds a way to get through November and December and get through festive period without just, I mean, this schedule looks bad for us.
Yeah.
Doesn't look great.
Yeah.
And with a bunch of injuries potentially, and we're thin already, doesn't look great, man.
Yeah. I'm starting to, I think there is some truth to, I think just throughout the entire organization of Everton Football Club, there's no culture. There's nothing that Everton can look to and be like, this is what Everton Football Club is about. We obviously have our club motto, but Everton really haven't been about that club motto in years, decades. And that's just the truth, you know. And that it's a hard motto to live up to. And I'm not saying that Everton should build, you know, like build a culture around this is what the club needs to be. A lot of people would argue that that's exactly what they need to do. But there's a lot of issues from top to bottom. I think there's issues with the under 23 manager and the way he works. I think there's issues with board members and the way that they're working. I think there's an issue with recruitment and how there's too many people involved, too many people wanting input, too many people wanting their own things. You know, I do think that Rafa has gotten, especially, I do think that Rafa got it wrong with his substitutions in this past match against Watford. I think there were some mistakes there. And then you got to look at the players. The players, I mean, God, like, show some pride. Show some pride, would you? You're playing at home against one of the worst teams in the league, and all they did was tie the game. That's all they did. The match was tied. You had 20 minutes, 15 minutes to go on and find a third and find a winner, and instead you went in the complete opposite direction, lost your heads, forgot about all tactics, threw all tactics out the window, and gave up three more goals after that in 20 minutes. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, and everyone needs to be embarrassed. And the only ones you've heard from, the only ones you've heard from are Luca Dean. I've heard from him. I saw him, and I think Richarlison said something, and I haven't seen a word out of anyone else. Not even the normal Seamus Coleman, we need to be better speech, which everyone was waiting for on Monday or whatever. We never saw it though. So
yeah,
it's just, I think there's an issue from top to bottom. I don't think it's enough to like sink Everton or anything like that, but like it's certainly concerning. This weekend was a big eye opener for me. I feel like I have had blinders on for 8 seasons where I was just kind of positive, 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 no matter what the result was.
I have absolutely been there.
And then this result was just bam, earth shattering. I hit the ground. Like, where have I been for 8 years?
Yeah. Like for me, it's just about composure. The more I learn about like sports psychology, you know, because I feel like, I don't know, I like learning about it. You know what I mean? I think it's fascinating. I've got
yeah.
two kids who are athletes, and I want to do my best to try to help give them confidence, because self-belief, confidence, they're big. And once you start like panicking, you know what I mean? Once you start thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to lose. Oh gosh, I don't want to lose. Oh gosh, I don't want to lose. Right.
Yeah.
You're like not, you're not present anymore. And it's really hard to be composed and to be as calm on the ball and to just sit there and just calmly be able to defend when you're the last man. You know, it's hard. To me, that was, I think we just had some players with a really defeated mindset. They just weren't very composed and they didn't want to lose. They were playing to not lose at that moment. And I didn't see that the whole rest of the game. I saw a sloppy game with a couple of good moments from us, you know? But I saw some worried guys, some very worried guys there, which is interesting from professional footballers.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really strange thing. Professional footballers a lot of times have conquered a lot of that stuff. Yes. But it is the kind of thing that can infect a team, infect an organization.
Right.
So yeah, man. I don't think it's going to look like this next game. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But yeah, this was embarrassing. And you're right. You're right. I just like, I don't know, moments like this, I like to try to be specific about the football, try to be specific about the play, what happened here, what happened here. There were just trends of panic.
Yeah.
You know, and that was my main trend. That's what I was looking for in this one, trends of panic. And that's, I mean, that led to collapse and just freak out. And it's not a positive thing. You hate watching your team. And I can't imagine what it's like to go through it.
Yeah.
Gotta be terrible.
Yeah.
And finding a way to shake that for your next one. They're pros though. They should be able to handle it. Right?
Yeah.
Wolves coming up should be able to crack through. Can I quickly ask you one question?
Yeah.
To slightly wade out of the mire. Anybody have a good game for you?
Oh my god. I thought Anthony Gordon was okay.
That's mine.
That's
fine. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, he played a great game.
I mean, look, he was okay. Like he didn't. His build up play to the first goal was phenomenal. I thought, you know, he had a couple of other good moments where he was playing some 1-2 football.
He connected play really well. You know, he was aggressive. You know, I thought he looked really confident. It was cool.
I thought Damari Gray was okay again, but he went missing for long spells of that game as well. Mm-hmm. Andros Townsend was nowhere to be found. He was nowhere to be found.
My oldest was watching the game over my shoulder in the second half, and he just says, why do we keep giving the ball away?
Ah! Yeah, you're asking me. And what was Jordan Pickford doing? What was Jordan Pickford doing in that game? He just kicked it out of bounds all game long. I'm like, hey, Jordan,
and then
keep it in, please.
Laughs. God. You know, and I think that's his way of trying to stay up here and not feel defeated. He's just like, ah.
It wasn't, you know, windy. Like, it wasn't even windy. Like, keep the damn ball on the pitch, please. Quit kicking it directly out of bounds.
Hmm.
Maddening. It was just some good stops, though. Yeah. There were a couple of really good saves in that game from Jordan Pickford. But everything else was terrible.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Jerry. We got to get...
It's
past this.
When I think about how many, like, we just gave away, just a... Yeah. It was already a sloppy, scrappy game. Ugly. And the referee was sort of dog shit. just gonna say it.
I mean,
but
he didn't not, have not the reason we, like just
not the reason we lost.
That yellow card for Allen was rubbish. It's just rubbish. Did he dive? Yeah, sure. But you can give out a million yellow cards for diving throughout an entire match of football. So whatever.
Any final thoughts? Anything at all? Are you ready to move on?
Be better on Monday. Just be better on Monday. It's not hard. You've got a very low bar to meet on Monday. Be better. Don't lose. Please just, you can't lose on Monday. That's it. That's all I've got.
All right. So, mailbag time.
Yes.
Let us never speak of that again.
Yes.
So, we're going to start the mailbag with a moment with Bowsy Toffee Tits.
Aaron!
I'm going to go. So, funny story. Our normal Toffee Blues admin puts out his name is John. I always refer to him as Toffee Blues John on here. He's absolute, you know, master of all things social media, master of the Toffee Blues brand. He's just kind of, yeah. So he was in an area today where he had no internet. So he couldn't put out the post to request questions of everyone. So he had some help from somebody who always steps up. Thomas, who you see show up sometimes on Toffee Blues videos. He's awesome. Super cool guy. Thomas stepped in and he's been in class all day long. And he quickly put out the first post for... To request questions. And the only person who responded quickly enough before he could delete it, because there was a mistake on it, the only person quick enough was Aaron Free, Mr. Bowsy Toffee Tit himself. Aaron is on it always.
Always on it.
And so I only mentioned this because it's funny. Not to sit there and like call out my man Thomas.
Yeah, no, Thomas, you're good. You're good, awesome. Thomas. You're a great lad.
Such an awesome guy. The message actually said, you know, let's see if I get this right here. If I can find it. Oh, no, it's been deleted. That's right. So it was basically Jerry's going to be joined by Chris from @JakeHolton12, right? So it was, you know, it was some confusion mixing last week's guest with this week's guest. It happens, whatever. And Aaron chimes in really quick, asking his questions. And the final question is Chris from Jake Holton, from @JakeHolton12, like Jake from State Farm in an alternate universe? And I like the idea of @JakeHolton12 being a brand. I'm just going to say it. So the idea of somebody saying, hey, how's it going? I'm Jerry from AJ Colton 12. Yeah, good to meet you. We do all things that don't like stars and stripes kits.
That's right.
Good to talk to you. But yeah, that was Aaron said he really wanted to make sure that stayed in the show. He sent me a message and I was like, no, I'm absolutely mentioning it because it's a funny, silly little goof up and we corrected it, but whatever. But Aaron's first question, do you play Richie up top, replacing Rondon, or out wide, replacing Gordon versus Wolves? Why, for the love of Alan Greenspan, does JPG not play ahead of Davis? How annoyed are you with Everton's fixture changes ruining plans? So that's the first question here, folks. Do you play Richie up top replacing Rondon?
In this Wolves match in particular, I think you're gonna keep Rondon right where he's at, anchoring up top. I'm not a fan of it. You guys aren't a fan of it. I know there is an argument out there from some that he's not being deployed properly, which is why he's been rather useless. And he has had a few moments where you're like, that's what he's there for, where he's just kind of backed into a guy, held his ground, and got the ball moving, which is, I think, what they want most from Solomon Rondon. Although a goal, one goal would be nice. One, that'd be grand. Anyway, I digress. Richarlison, I think, should come in for Anthony Gordon. I think he's going to need to help Luka Dean out with Adama Traore as much as possible. And as much as I like Anthony Gordon, he is absolutely no physical match for Adama Traore. We saw a couple times in that match where Anthony Gordon just kind of got pushed over, and it was really easy for defenders to just kind of bully him a little bit. And Adama Traore has got to be looking at that kind of tape and being like, I can exploit that really easily. So for me, Richarlison's not going to start up top because you're going to need his defensive capabilities to help out Luka Dean as much as possible.
I think I agree. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Richarlison will start, and I think Rondon will start, and I think Gordon will hit the bench, even though he played well.
Yeah.
And at his age, not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Do I like the idea of playing hot players that are all doing well? Yeah. Yeah. But it's also one of the things about Rondon. I would just love to actually see him, us actually putting some balls to him in positions where he can score. He's just sort of, I see him isolated a lot of times. And to be honest with you, I don't see him winning as many 50-50s or aerial duels as his stats indicate. It's crazy. I don't understand how he's won that many aerial duels in the Wolves game. I didn't see him win many at all. Not the Wolves game, sorry, the Watford game.
Yeah.
I didn't see him win many at all. I literally had an eye on it because I saw that stat about him winning so many aerial duels this season, and I just didn't see him. I saw him
his stats often. His stats are crazy. Yeah, his stats are really good for like a striker trying to play others in, but it's just not coming off at all.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going to happen. And it may be the smartest thing. I don't know. I don't like the idea of having too many of the same type of player playing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's my issue. The cool thing about Rondon is he is a different type of body, different type of player. So I totally get why you're asking that, Aaron. And my first reaction when you asked that question, I was like, yes, you're right. But anyway, his second question, why is Gbamin not playing ahead of Davies?
Man, if I had an answer to that question, I would certainly give it, but it is mind-numbingly frustrating. I tweeted at Patty Boylan and Greg O'Keefe today. I was like, is he 100%? Like, somebody please explain to me that this man is 100%. And Patty Boylan was like, yeah, he was training with the first team leading up to that Watford match. And I'm like, okay, so now this is even more perplexing to me.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to start him, why was he not coming off the bench when you took the lead 2-1? I know a lot of people were all over that, and I'm with them. I'm like, that is why?
I get that. I find the Iwobi substitution a little mystifying.
Bring him on. That's why he's there. That's why he's on the bench. And if he is 100% healthy, where is he? Why are we not using him? Well, we're just going to let him sit on the bench and rot? Are we serious? Come on. He should be starting against Wolves. There's no doubt in my mind. Somebody needs to anchor because Alan likes to drift a lot. And if Rafa Benitez is going to be stubborn and only play two in the midfield, you've got to have somebody who's steady in the midfield and is not going to drift all over the place. Because you know how Alan is. He'll drift out wide. He'll drift back. He'll drift up. And he'll just kind of chase the ball around a little bit. He'll just kind of drift out of the midfield. And then it gets kind of overrun, which we saw against Watford, where they had three players in the midfield and we only had two, and it was just, it was too much. It's so frustrating because he, I feel like he's good enough to start. He's definitely good enough to start. And now he's finally healthy, and we've been waiting for him to be healthy for all this time, and now he's still not playing, and it's over Tom Davies. And I love Tom Davies. Nobody else does, but I love him.
I love him.
But he shouldn't be starting over Jean-Philippe Gavamin. Like, never.
For me, it's situational. There are times when I would start Tom over him, and there are times when I wouldn't. The only thing that I can think in this instance is that Gavamin, because of his injury history, there's a couple of things that I feel like he probably has to convince Benitez of. One of them is his actual ability to be able to play in a Premier League game. You know what I mean? And to be able to last. And the only other thing is Tom Davies must be doing something in training that Benitez approves of. You know, and I want to be clear. I don't think Davies was the worst player on our team the other day. You know, I think I just missed an athletic presence that Decore brings. Decore's presence is strong. He is rapid, and he's constantly working. I don't know that we're going to get the movement forward out of Gavamin that, you know, Decore brings, right? I don't think he carries the ball as well as Decore does, but I don't think many do. But yeah, I don't actually know the answer to this. If you're trying to play more defensive, you play Gavamin. If you're trying to work on sparking a counterattack, I would trust Davies to get the ball forward quicker and more on point, you know? So that's the only answer that I have for that particular game. Would it surprise me if Gavamin starts next game? Nope.
It would not surprise me. Yeah, he better. You got to do something. You got to do something to change that midfield, because it simply did not work against Watford.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I just didn't think it was super efficient. For me, the failing was the, against Watford, was the shitting their pants in the back. Just as far as like getting caught, everyone loading to ones and then just leaving someone in the middle. But I also didn't necessarily think that the midfield was stunning and giving us a tremendous advantage. No.
I'll tell you one thing that drove me crazy about Tom Davies in this match was some of those clearance attempts were just, he blasted the ball right at a Watford player. I was so valid. That is so valid. Why are you kicking it right at him? Would you?
That's super valid.
God, he just, there were a couple of times where I'm just like, you bonehead, what are you doing? Please do something basic, right? Please just go back to the basics. Somebody please go back to the basics. Why are you all playing like you've never played football before? You're all confusing me.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. And really, and all I'm doing, by the way, because I think a lot of this stuff is hard to defend. You know, I'm legit just trying to think, okay, how's the manager approaching this? What is the... Because I don't think he's sitting there going, hey, let me screw with the fans, you know?
Yeah.
I think he really does want to put the best chance of winning out there. But if he's concerned about the Wolves' attack, I do think we'll see Gavamin out there. I do.
I mean, this Wolves team is a bit in form now. They started out rough this season, and now
we're about to talk about that here in a minute.
So
another Aaron question. Let's see here. You sent me one from him earlier today.
By the way, he also said something about fixtures, right? That was the last bit of his last question.
He was just saying that the fixtures are, scary.
Oh, they're garbage. They're garbage. They changed another one today where we were going to play Leicester on the 20th of December.
They're ruining everybody's plans.
They've moved it to Sunday the 19th, which is 3 days after we play at Chelsea.
Yeah, there's that. In addition to the fact that we're hardly playing any Saturdays, it's almost all like any day except for a Saturday.
We don't have a Saturday match until January.
Yeah.
Which is just great. But the reason he mentioned that specific bit at the end of that question is that Aaron and I were supposed to hang out in December, which has been completely boned by the Premier League and their scheduling woes. So we were going to have a whole weekend, me and a couple of other guys and Aaron, we're going to hang out and tear up Cincinnati together, but nope, not anymore because the Premier League likes to rain on everyone's parade.
Y'all need to hurry up and reschedule that stuff.
Yeah, next year it's going 2022. We just gotta
get that
time
out.
You just gotta get time. Yeah,
you can't keep you two guys apart. Aaron's other question that he asked you directly: your thoughts on Rafa's insistence on zonal marking at set pieces. Do you think Rafa made the wrong substitutions at the weekend? Well, we've already said that. But he specifically, Aaron, is asking, when we're 2-0 up or 2-1 up, should we rather send on a center back or a DM to see the game off and instead brought on a Wobi when we conceded 4? I agree with the, I think there would have been a way to kind of close. We need to bring in a closer.
Yeah.
Someone to close. And I am mystified by the subbing in of a Wobi. I'd love to see a Wobi play great. I just don't get the sub. We're 2-1 up.
Yeah.
Damari Gray really struggling.
Yeah, and he did say after the match that Damari Gray couldn't go 90 because he had like a cold or something going on where he wasn't like super fit. He was dealing with some kind of illness. And he said that Anthony Gordon can't go 90. So, he had to bring both of those guys off.
Wow. I mean, we still have subs left though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we could have adjusted some formational stuff. I agree with that.
You could even brought Alan off if you wanted to. You could have brought Alan off. You could have put JPG in for Alan, who was on a yellow card already and wasn't doing much of really anything in the midfield. You could have brought him on. Now that would have left Tom Davies on the pitch. And I think did Tom Davies play the whole 90? I don't remember. I have no idea.
Did we ever sub Rondon off?
No, Rondon played 90. I know he played 90.
So that's the pick that I would have done. If you have to sub Damari Gray for cold and you have to sub Gordon, cool. All right. I pull a striker off and run with three in the middle or a third center back. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
You could have done a million things and he didn't do any of them. He didn't do any of them. Oh, this is maddening. Choices. Just maddening.
Okay.
Oh, and then the zonal marking. Oh.
Yeah, the zonal marking question about
I thought we were past this. I thought David Ancelotti came in and he fixed our set pieces. We were great last year on set pieces all season long. Rafa Benitez comes in and he's like, we're going back to pure zonal marking. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. And here we are again, seemingly giving up a goal on every set piece that we give away. I'm left holding my breath for every damn set piece that is within 20 yards of the box. Because I'm like, here we go. Somebody's going to be standing in the middle of the box, wide open for a header.
So, we were talking about trends earlier.
Yeah.
That's a trend you cannot ignore. There's no way the coaching staff is ignoring.
Scrap it right now. It has to stop. You can't, because as I listened to the American Toffees podcast yesterday or the day before, and they brought up a really good point. If you're not doing pure zonal marking and Watford doesn't score the first goal, the very first goal, none of this happens. Yeah. None of it. Because Watford weren't going to create any chances from open play without scoring from a set piece.
Yep.
It just, it was never going to happen. I'm annoyed. I'm just annoyed with zonal marking. I'm annoyed with all of that Watford nonsense. Watford. Ugh.
So, next question from Paul McAllister, one of the brothers McAllister.
Yes.
Toffee Blues contributor. Good fella. Overall, good fella. Paul asks,
good lad.
Eighth place as our final league position with no cup run and no European football next season. Would you take that in light of the last couple of results? It would be a stable season, but a very joyless one. Good or bad for Rafa's first full campaign?
I think we're headed towards about what he just laid out anyway. We're not going to make a cup run in the FA Cup. Not a chance. Oh, I've been a part of, in eight seasons, I've had one deep cup run, and it was an FA Cup semifinal that we lost to Manchester United.
Yeah.
So we're not making a cup run. I'm just going to crush that dream now. That's not happening.
I don't think we're deep enough.
No, not even close. Not even close. Because we're going to put Begovic back in goal for a cup run. Really? Asmir Begovic, who gave up eight penalties to QPR, who scored one against Sunderland yesterday. One. QPR scored one goal in their penalty shootout against Sunderland yesterday and lost on penalties to Sunderland. So no cup run, which, fine, whatever. That's been my entire existence as an Everton supporter. I don't know what a cup run is. Eighth place would be fine. I'd be fine with that. Just get me to 40 at this point. You know what? Just get me to 40 and the rest is gravy at this point. They're not deep. They don't have, you know, without Abdoulaye Doucouré and without Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we're relying on Solomon Rondon and Richarlison and Damari Gray and Andras Townsend for goals. And, you know, Damari has been a bit stifled since he was off to his super hot streak. I'm sure he'll get among the goals again. I don't have any doubts about that. He's really good and he can drive it at defenses. Richarlison looked good. He looked good when he came on against Watford. He was a really bright spot that I enjoyed, you know, watching. Mm-hmm. Provided a spark. That was fun. But man, they're not deep enough for anything. Eighth place is about what I expect at this point. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not going to be a fun season. I don't see any way where they challenge for any top six spots. Like, it's not realistic.
So I'll just go ahead and say, I don't like eighth. You know,
nobody likes eighth.
That's what I mean. We had some quality wins earlier where we were finding ways to dig deep, do what we need to do. Right. Saw us do some things that I was impressed with when we're healthy. I'm going to be apathetic about eighth, and I don't want to be.
Nobody likes eighth. Nobody wants to finish eighth.
So that's why I'm going to say, how fair do I want to be to Rafa if we finish eighth? I don't like it, you know?
It's fine. It's fine, I guess. Like, what's he supposed to do?
That's what I mean.
Like, they're asking him to turn water into wine. Like, it's impossible. He had $1.4 million as a transfer budget in the summertime. That's the lowest in the Premier League. If you finish eighth, that's about a miracle.
Yeah.
We finished on 59 points last year, which should have been good enough for a European spot, and instead we finished in 10th or 11th or whatever it was.
So I'm actually hearing in the back of my mind people who's watched the show for a while, Pete Needham. I feel like he's really been talking about just the fact that just everything's not good enough, period. You know? And so I suppose you finish eighth with players that are not good enough. You know, one could see it as an accomplishment. I just don't like seeing it like that, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I am going to be naive. Okay, I'm choosing to be naive and say that I don't care. I feel like our last game was not due to lack of depth. It was due to just straight up piss pants. Okay, we straight up collapsed.
Yep.
All right, and that should not have happened. All right, and I honestly, genuinely feel like, and a lot of times, I feel like our manager demands more than that.
He does.
He demands more than that. And so I don't think that's going to be the regular. I don't think that's going to be the norm. So, Paul, I'm just going to say it. It's not good enough for me. Screw that. Cup run, I don't think we're deep enough for. And it's naive as crap for me to say that eighth is not good enough for me. But I don't care. I'm willfully being naive and ignorant and saying, I don't want eighth because I want more for this club. Screw it. And I'm going to be pissed off if we're eighth with nothing, because earlier in the season, I felt we could do it because Rafa made me a believer.
Eighth.
Yeah.
Cup run. So sick of hearing about cup runs. I'm so sick about hearing about cup runs. Oh, we're going to make a cup run this year. Like, bullshit. We are not making a cup run anytime soon.
So
I'm so tired of it.
Two questions left. One from Jacob Ritchie, who is another Toffee Blues contributor who comes on to the show often.
Yes, yes, yes.
The pride of Tennessee, Jacob Ritchie. Would love to hear both you fellas' reaction to the 4 Watford goals in 15 minutes. I stood there the whole time and I couldn't stop laughing.
You know, some people got to deal
Yeah, you already said yours. All right. I was in a public space with children. I was at a soccer tournament and we were all out to lunch together. And my reaction was to drink more beer. Because I had a guy, a friend of mine from London, down who's an Arsenal supporter, but when he heard the score, he was laughing, and I was like, "Why would you do that? Why would you hurt the feelings? What's the deal with that?" So yeah, I just drank more. That was my reaction. Drink,
Southerners.
Drink.
After the second one went in, I was silent. I just kind of like, I stood there in like stunned disbelief. I'm like, can we seriously just blow the lead to Watford a second time? And then the third one went in and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. I was like, as they're like in the build up to the third one, I'm like, don't do this. I'm saying out loud, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do it. Third one goes in, I'm like, you. And then the fourth one went in and I went ballistic and left.
I'm just saying, you know, your recreation just then seemed very realistic. I think it's good acting.
Yeah, so that was my reaction to the 4 goal barrage.
Yeah,
that was
Jesus. So Connor Williams, another good guy, Toffee Blues contributor, overall rad fella, said, saw a few saying that in 1.5 hour, everything Rafa had built has gone back to square one. Wanted to know your thoughts on this and how we should move forward. For me, that's not the case. For me, that's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, I get other people. People are pissed off. A 5-2 loss to Rafa would do that to you. Yeah. They're not. I get it. I'm usually not a super reactionary guy, you know, I can get pissed, but usually in hindsight, I can calm down and say, okay, let's consider some things. But it doesn't mean that people who are reacting are wrong necessarily. They're given a lot of reasons. I don't think we're back at square one for that yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Think? Not back at square one, but we have been knocked down many pegs from where we were. This team looks soft. This team looks beatable. By if any team in the league is looking at us now, they're looking at us like, we can beat that team. We know how to beat that team. And it's just, you know, it's a far cry from where we were after that Manchester United match, right? That I tweeted out today or yesterday, or I don't remember what day it was. All the days are blending together now. The Andros Townsend counterattack goal feels like it was 5 years ago at this point.
It does. It really does.
That goal was like the peak of the season so far, where we were like, we can take on anyone. We can take on absolutely anyone, because you could have made a case that Everton should have won that game, and they probably should have.
Yeah.
And now, now we're looking at the next five matches and everyone's like, where are we going to get a point? Where's our next point going to come from? That was 3 weeks ago, or however long, how I don't know, maybe a month ago. Like, it wasn't that long ago. And now it's a completely different feel. It's a completely different vibe. I'd be really curious to see what preparation has been like for Rafa Benitez and his players this week. I'd be really curious to see what they've kind of been going through, because you have to change something after that match.
Yeah.
Preparations have to change. Mentalities have to change. Everything, not everything, but a lot of stuff has to change when losses like that happen to bad teams. And
yeah,
fair play to Watford, but they're a bad team. They're a bad team. They're not good. They're going to be fighting relegation all year. Like, that's just where they're going to be.
Okay.
But like, we're not back to square one, but man, have we been knocked down many pegs.
Yeah, I would agree. And there's negative energy happening right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's happening with the team too. So you have a collapse like that, it's hard to get that out of your mind for the next game. So
agreed.
Last question from Toffee Blues John. There's actually three. This is two questions, okay? The first one, if you were on death row, what would your final meal be?
Oh, wow.
Go ahead.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with like a really Cincinnati answer, and I'll just eat some Skyline chili. Like, give me two cheese conies with no onion and no mustard and a three-way, a regular three-way. It will be great. It'll be grand. For those of you who are not aware, I'm not talking about like the three-way that you are akin to. No, this is a family show. Thank you. No, a three-way is as follows: spaghetti, Cincinnati style chili, and a mountain of cheese on top of that. That is what a three-way is.
Wow. I'm gonna have to go to this place at some point.
Yes, yes. No, it's a culinary masterpiece is what it is.
Right on. This is a really hard question. I think my instinct was to go with like an 8 foot long sandwich. You know what I mean? Because if you're on death row, you're like, I got to finish the sandwich. I got to finish my meal. And it did take you a long time. And finally, you know, when it's over, you know, maybe you're dead anyway. I really like duck. I like duck and a glass of red wine.
A cheese sandwich.
I like duck cooked medium rare. Duck cooked medium rare, crispy on the outside and skin. That's one of my go-to. So yeah.
A nice Cabernet to wash it down.
That's another great question. Usually I want to go with a Pinot Noir with a duck, because duck tends to be a little stronger sometimes. So, you know, something a little thinner wine wise. Yeah. Anyway, last question. This is hard as hell, by the way. three celebrities or footballers, dead or alive, you can bring to a dinner. Celebrities or footballers.
I think right now, okay. So I think I might stick with, never mind. I'll do a mix of both. Okay. So Tom Davies, I would love to hang out with. I think Tom Davies would be an absolute blast of a human being. He seems genuinely funny. He seems like a very normal person. So, he'd be easy to talk to. He's not like, one of these stuck up, oh, I'm a footballer type people. Yeah. Like he's literally like skateboarding around Liverpool. in every video he's in for Everton, he's genuinely funny. So Tom Davies is up there. We've talked about this man before on this show. Keanu Reeves would be great to hang out with. I love Keanu Reeves. So I think he's a very interesting person. He also seems very normal. So Keanu Reeves, I think, was up there. Now I got to figure out a third one. I think Jordan Pickford would be fun to have at like a dinner. He seems kind of wild, right?
The idea of getting the rave on during dinner seems
interesting. I was between him and having Dom and Tom together at a dinner. That'd be great too, mm-hmm. right?
This is hard.
Three is not very many.
Because I do want to go with like one Everton representative. And part of me is like Leighton Baines, right? Because Leighton Baines is like,
like the coolest guy ever. I can't believe I left Leighton Baines off. Man, that's just weak.
Cahill seems amazing as well, by the way. I have the Tom Davies connection, it's hard to say no to that because the guy sent me a video. So I'm like, at least I could do is get him dinner. But my initial thought was Leighton Baines. So I'm going to go Leighton Baines. There's one. If he were still alive, I would say Orson Welles. Okay. Which is either this is hard. Orson Welles just seems like he'd be hilarious. And he would just, no, he'd be scary. No, I can't do Orson Welles. It would be scary. He'd be so mean to everybody. It's like I had a professor at school who's actually a famous guy too, Peter Bogdanovich. And he used to live with Orson Welles and he knew him really well. He tells these crazy stories about the guy. No, I can't go there. I do have to have a film director though. So I'm going to go Federico Fellini, my favorite Italian director, my favorite director ever, period.
About Manuel Fellini.
And then part of me wants to find like a writer or a comedian or something, but I feel like so many comedians.
If George Carlin would have been alive, that would have been, he'd be up there. Old George Carlin.
Yeah. Actor wise, that dude like Camille Nanjiani, the guy who's in Eternals, who's like he seems awesome.
Yeah.
He seems great.
He was really great in Silicon Valley. He's great. Yep. He's great in that.
He's good in everything. That's a great show. Seen him. He just seems like a genuinely funny guy.
Ripped.
I like Ryan Reynolds as well. Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool,
An owner of a football club, eh?
Which is crazy, right? And I mentioned
both those guys just went over to Wrexham for the first time yesterday.
Saw that.
Or whatever that was.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Bill Murray. I'm saying a lot of dudes, though.
Bill Murray, yes.
I'm saying a lot of dudes. Let me mention Giulietta Masina was Fellini's wife, and she was this great comedic actress. She seems like, because he cheated on her, like, repeatedly. So I feel like she would be, and she's, like, hilarious. She just seemed like a genuinely great person. So, I'm going to say her.
Anna Kendrick, I feel like, would be a good one.
Agreed. She seems freaking awesome.
She seems like a good person, kind of mm-hmm. just like a normal person too, who just happens to be like an actor.
Mm-hmm. There's too many. John, this question is really hard.
First, yeah, there's too many. There's too many people.
You know, because you're talking like, oh, you know who else I really like? Javier Bardem. Okay, the dude who played Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men. Also, huge fan.
Yes.
Of, oh God, what's his name from There Will Be Blood? It's like my favorite actor, Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis. So there's too many. I'm a freaking, this is the worst question to ask me,
John. Way too many.
Man, I feel like, John, here's the deal. You need to ask us this again, and it's our job to trim this list down, okay? Because I didn't even mention a writer. I didn't even put a writer on there. That sucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, we need to do better than that. Anyway, we got to move on. Wolves preview. Current form, 11th in the table. We got 13 points. They're 4-1-4. They most recently drew 1-1 with Leeds. Before that, they beat Villa 3-2. Before that, they beat Newcastle 2-1. I mean, new manager this year. I feel like they're starting to find their stride under the manager. If you just like humans overcoming adversity, Raul Jimenez is a good story.
Yep.
So, throwing that out there.
Yep, he really is.
Even though he did almost come here at one point, apparently.
I remember
if you believe rumors. And everybody tends to like Ruben Neves as a player. He's awesome.
Whatever.
He's good.
Ruben Neves.
You don't like him? You don't think he's a good player?
No, I don't. No. I think he's a decent enough player, but he's overrated. I'm sick of Ruben Neves.
Oh, wow. Shots fired, Jake.
Yeah.
Sick of Ruben Neves. Yeah, overrated.
Man, Wolves supporters are going to be in my mentions. They're going to be all over me. Let me tell you. I said a weird, innocuous thing about Watford, and their fan base jumped all over my tweet one time. This is the strangest thing. Strange things happen on Twitter, Jerry.
This is why I don't
tweet. The wrong person will catch wind of it, and then it'll just turn into this giant thread where 18 people are fighting in the mentions. You just look at it like, what am I supposed to do with this?
I just don't have time for the discourse. I just don't have time for the discourse on Twitter. The back and forth.
I just say stuff and walk away.
If they're like friendly and they want to talk, you know, and they're like, hey, I disagree with this. Hey, let's have a conversation. Cool. Let's do that. But, you know, life's too short to listen to, you know, like, I don't know, to get approached by random Watford fans and who you know, don't like your view because you're American.
So, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
So, seems like they're continuing to run their three in the back system. They've got, speaking of a player who is always a handful, even though you can't get a grasp on him because they oil him up every game, Traore. But you know, the thing about Traore is, not going to say it. Not going to jinx it. He's a very good player whose end product is great.
Here we go. The internet is going to love this. God, the internet. The internet is going to be – Twitter is going to be alight with, Adama Traore hasn't scored a goal in 8 years, which means he's going to score 4 against Everton.
And you know we're going to see people reading that. That's why I'm saying, what a good player.
God. I literally said this when Josh King scored the first goal on Saturday. I'm like, I hate it when the internet is right. I hate it. And then they were super right because he got a hat trick and the man hasn't scored in forever. Well, I hate it when the internet is right.
Last week, Chris from Gateway Toffees and I, we both picked us to beat Watford. Neither one of us really considered the idea of losing. And after we did that, I paused a second and go, you know, every time we do this, every time we, it always bites us in the butt. I was like, every yeah. time. So yeah. anyway, so you see, so as far as our starters go.
Yeah.
Do you think Davies gets the nod again?
No, I don't. I don't think he does. I'd be surprised. I think you gotta, personally, I'd switch up the formation. Even I'd go 4-2-3-1 and mm-hmm. have Alon and JPG kind of hold it down right in front of the center backs, just kind of give that mm-hmm. back line a little bit more stability so that things aren't wide open if they hit on a counterattack. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. They'll go with the same formation we've been kind of playing with all year long, which is kind of Rafa being stubborn, which is kind of his MO. But I do think Jean-Philippe Gabamin or Andre Gomez will come in for Tom Davies, because it seems like Andre Gomez is on track to be healthy enough to start on Monday, which, you know, depending on who you ask, is a good thing or a bad thing. Personally, I think you'd need a little bit more stability next to Alon. You can't have two midfielders who like to kind of just drift around and be kind of loose in the midfield. You're going to need a solid, steadfast midfield to kind of combat Wolves a little bit, because they're also going to be able to outnumber you in the midfield with the formation that they run. So I think having two in the midfield, two pivoting midfielders, is kind of a big risk against Wolves, but we'll see.
Yeah, it would not shock me to see Davis start.
No, I don't think he's done enough, but it wouldn't shock me to see him again. No, not at all, which is unfortunate.
I don't know that he's been like bad enough. Like I didn't think he was as bad as a lot of people said. I think it was sort of a, we want to point at someone, you know, but the points you brought up earlier, pretty valid as far as like clearances and giving the ball away a little cheaply at times. But, you know, I thought we saw a work rate. I just don't think we have enough athleticism with him. That's my thing. I like another big body. Like having a big body in the middle, if you can, a big physical presence.
It's almost like we've got something like that.
Yeah, on the bench. Right. And that's the thing. I like having that in contrast. If you got a player, I feel like Alon and Davis do some similar things on the field, and I wish they were more different. But anyway, is Mina available?
I don't know. I haven't really heard anything about Yuri Mina leading up this. I never really heard how serious his hamstring issue was. It didn't sound like it was very serious. Like, it just sounded like he was maybe being held out of Saturday's match because he just wasn't fit enough, which shouldn't be too surprising, because he came back awfully quick from that international break and played right away in that West Ham match, which was probably part of the issue. He had just played not too terribly long before that for Colombia, so maybe should have left him out against West Ham instead of playing him right away, and maybe he would have been available for Watford, and maybe that match goes a different way, maybe not. I don't know. I think he'll be available. It's just on a gut feeling. I think it didn't really seem that his hamstring injury was really that severe.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've got a sneaking suspicion we're going to see a similar lineup to what we just saw, except Richarlison comes in for Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to see the same formation. We're not going to see a formation switch. We're still going to see zonal marking. We're still going to see that pure zonal marking garbage, which will be miserable.
I mean, people are going to start targeting us if they haven't already. I feel like they are.
I mean, you gotta take a look at that as like an opposing team and be like, look, they're giving us an easy goal. Just stand here. Just stand in this spot where there's going to be nobody and you'll have a free header.
It's in numbers to this one spot. You know, they can't mark all of us. Can't mark all of us right here.
Part of the issue is Godfrey's not a high jumper. He doesn't get up like Yuri Mina does, and like even Michael Keane. Michael Keane's got a great heading clearance numbers. But Godfrey, he just seems to get outjumped by everybody. He got outjumped by Charlie Austin in that cup. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was weird.
Yeah. Also, guy had COVID.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's some recovery based stuff there too. But yeah, that seems weird. I would agree. That's weird when that happens. What's the prediction for you?
2-0 to Wolves. I think
what?
2-0 to Wolves. I think it's
I'm picking a 2-1 loss.
I think it's just going to be shock and awe. They're not going to be fully recovered from their licking at the hands of Watford at home, and it's just going to be another ugly loss where they don't look like they're in control at all during the match, and it's just, you know, goals are going to be tough to come by, and Wolves have hit us on a couple of counterattacks, and we just won't have an answer.
I am really hoping this is one of those where we're expecting Everton to look terrible, and they find a way to grit something out. That's what I'm hoping. I would love to see more of Benitez's, you know, managerial chops. You know, find a way to kind of, you know, make chicken salad out of a little bit of chicken shite.
It's at Wolves, right? It's not at home.
I believe so.
Mm. Yeah, that makes it even worse.
I can find that out. Makes it
even worse. I mean, this is a Wolves team that could very easily have won three matches in a row. Yeah, no. I don't like those chances at all. Not at all. This is a Wolves team that very easily could have won three in a row if it weren't for a late Leeds penalty. But
yep.
Yeah, no confidence at all.
All right. So anything else on this?
Nope. I don't think I've got anything else. I think I've, you know, fully released what I had been building up since Saturday. Felt good. God, did it feel good. Before we end, I would like to give one shout out. The MLS season is over pretty much. We've after tonight, which FC Cincinnati lost in embarrassing fashion as well. They were up 3-1 and ended up losing 6-3, which is just grand.
That's familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Shout out to the FC Cincinnati social people. You know, it's been a long, tough season, and they've had to deal with a lot, and along with and to the season ticket people who are trying to get people to re-up on their season tickets. They've probably had a rough go of it, and they've probably heard a lot of rough stuff. So shout out to all of those people. I know you guys don't get a whole lot of shout outs, so thank you for all of you that you do. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, and I got to be honest, it's just a really – that's a club, like, when they were in the lower level, they had, number one, a terrific team, and number two, terrific support. You know what I mean? So it's a community that will rally around a team.
Yeah.
It's a community that really values the sport. They value – they value that club. They just, I think they wish there was some decisions going differently.
Yeah, that's what it seems. Agreed.
So, yeah. So, good luck on turning that around, man.
Yeah, and they got a new
GM. And I mean that sincerely, not like the ironically, like good luck with that shit, man. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They've got a new GM who's got some actual experience in the MLS. So, fingers crossed.
Yes, I did. I did read about that. So yeah. All right. Any other stuff to throw out there besides hey people, go check out Cincinnati Toffees at
Dana Gardens. Gardens, baby. Although we won't be there for many weekends because there are no weekend matches for the most part. It's all weekday nonsense for Everton. Yeah. Yay. There, I mean, there will be some people there, but like, you know, it ain't a normal crowd.
Well, anyway, at some point that will be a thing, and you should go there and see.
Should this be guy. There.
Yes.
Should be there.
And you'll see him flipping off the television, hopefully not.
Yelling obscenities.
Fiddlesticks.
It's the first time that's ever happened to Everton with me.
Yeah.
Hopefully the last.
He normally keeps his language a little cleaner.
It won't be the last. This is year 8. We've got like 60 more years of this nonsense. At least.
All right, Jake. Well, right. I'm going to wrap up. Thank you so much for coming on. For
yes.
Everybody else out there.
It's great.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're digging what you're hearing and seeing, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel and or podcast. We really appreciate it. Check out the Toffee Blues website. There's all kinds of great written content on there from people like Jake Holton, but also some other cool guys on there. Just all things Everton, some good stuff. You know, Toffee Blues John is the one who, the head honcho, putting it all together. Mad respect there. Check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I think that's all the social media platforms that they're on. And that's it. Fingers crossed this Monday is not the same type of shit show. If nothing else, maybe a new kind of shit show. Okay? At least it's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
You know, don't lose all hope, everybody. Don't lose all hope. Maybe it's going to be all right. So, you know, I'll say that now. And then if it is that shit show on Monday, just come at me and say, Jerry, you said maybe not, and you were wrong. And I'll say, you're right, guys. And if you were here, I'd hug you. So, yeah.
All right, anyway, Jerry. Good stuff, buddy.
Let's get those 3 points on Monday, everybody. Much love to you. Jake, it's good to talk to you, my man. Thanks for coming
always,
on again.
Always, always, always.
Everybody else out there, have a good night. Take care of yourself. Try to keep the negative Nancys down. You're going to be all right. Okay? They're going to be okay. Let's do this. Much love, everybody. Bye.